started, can you get something out of there? It's on like the top shelf. Yeah, it's one of those bifold things there.
Oh God. Did you seriously just ice me?
I sure did.
Why would you do that?
Because.
Oh man, I almost had a
beer before coming here, and I'm super glad that I did it.
Just like buzzed on the pot. Show them the whole.
Do I get to keep?
Yeah, you get to keep that.
Oh shit!
Yeah.
Oh, I'm a groomsman.
You sure are.
I thought you were just icing me to be a dick.
No, that'd be funny though.
That would be funny. Wait, so I get to keep this?
Yeah, no, it's for you.
Whoa, pink lemonade, ice. Okay, good flavor.
What would I do with the groomsman like koozie that has an N on it? You know,
I was looking at the koozie. I was like, oh, this is a neat little contraption.
It was literally facing you.
Oh fuck!
You know what you got to do.
One knee. Tell me all your groomsmen while I do this.
So you, Jack. You're almost there. Very impressive.
Woo!
Let's go.
Man, I haven't done that in a minute.
I know. Dude. It's never easy.
It was so cold.
That's good. That means the koozie works.
Yeah, yeah.
It's also got like one of these lids, so you can use it for coffee too if you want. Wow, it's pretty sick.
Oh wow, that is cool, actually.
Yeah, I didn't even know that until I got them.
Neat,
dude. So
thank you.
I got the pink lemonade.
I needed one of these too.
Yeah, no, they're sick. I like didn't get myself one for some reason, but they had pink lemonade, and I was looking just for the white one. You know, the iconic.
Yeah.
Like, just like I don't know, white flavor.
Yeah.
But they just had that one or like the spicy one that had like sugar skulls on it.
Whoa. And give me that one.
It sounded like it looked like it tasted like tahine. And I'm like, I don't know if I need anyone like chugging
I
that.
I love tahine.
But anyway.
That's
well,
cool. Well, thank you.
That's your official.
I'm very excited to be a groomsman.
Since you didn't get an invite to the wedding, that's like your official invite then.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Since it got lost in the mail or whatever.
Yeah. You should have put it in there as a surprise.
Yeah.
That's cool.
I meant to do this like the last like 2 weeks, but I totally forgot. I've had that box full of them.
Oh, man. So it's been your... I just need to snoop around and find it.
Hide in plain sight.
Very cool. Well, this is what we do on the Trade Waiters podcast.
Yeah, we ice each other consistently.
We get drunk and we talk about comic books.
Let's go.
Yeah, and we start with the news, don't we, Daniel?
We should definitely do like an episode loaded.
I agree, yeah.
Like we'd sound like shit and my pronunciation will not get better.
And you're like, I really don't agree with like Iron Man in Civil War. And like,
what's his deal, man?
Yeah.
We got time codes in the description. We start with the news, don't we, Nathan?
Yes, we do.
Oh, welcome to the Trade Waiters podcast, the comic book club where we read a different trade paperback every single week. I'm Daniel and you're Nathan. We're brothers who read comics.
Right, yeah, we talk about the news. Daniel, Netflix and Dark Horse Entertainment have inked a multi-year first look film and TV deal extending their creative partnership. And it's going to launch with two new projects, including a film titled Bang and a series called Mind Management, both by Matt Kent.
Wow.
So Idris
Matt
Elba.
Kent's writing a book or a movie about Bang. That's sick.
Yeah, Bang. No, this Bang has an exclamation point, so there's no copyright infringement, but this is what it looks like. It's a book that he's already done.
I've seen that.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And so Idris Elba is going to play that guy. He's going to play Mr. Bang.
Nice.
Which is
because we all want to bang Idris Elba, don't we?
Yeah, we all do. So that's pretty cool.
Yeah, that's awesome. I love that. That's a great idea.
And Mind Management's getting one, or whatever this is called, Mind MGMT.
Management, probably. Management.
Yeah, so I, like, should read that. I think I tried reading it, and I was like, I don't like this art, but I didn't, like, understand.
Yeah, you just don't get it.
It's like when you, it's like if you first start reading comics, and you're like, I'm gonna read Sweet Tooth, and you're like, what is this?
Yeah. You
know? But, like,
Serena
it's,
actually
it is
likes
incredible.
Work for Sweet Tooth, which I was surprised by.
Yeah, because it's not like, I guess I'm so just...
It's not like super detailed.
I'm just a fucking like lughead and I'm like, where's the superheroes? Where's their big muscles?
I need to see all their delts.
But that kind of artwork is a lot more intimate and interesting, I think.
Yeah.
So, well, now I think that because I've kind of gotten bored of like the traditional like Jim Lee
superhero. Oh, so bored.
Yeah. I like when Clay Mann does it. And I like when, like, Dan...
Well, when it's incredible, like Clay Mann or, like, any of those.
Or, like, Brian
Hitch.
Yeah.
Everyone that was on, like, Tom King's Batman
run. There's a bunch of people that have, like, a Jim Lee style, I feel like.
But, like, upgraded.
Yeah.
Like, on steroids, Jim Lee.
Pretty much, yeah.
But, Nathan, the most important news of the week. The voice actor of the Cabbage Man is reprising his role in Avatar: The Last Airbender.
Let's go.
Live-action role.
He finally gets a W.
Let's go. And he, like, looks, like, just like him.
He does.
For some reason.
I mean, why design him any other way?
Yeah, I'd be like... Hey, we just hired you for no reason.
They should make all characters look like the voice actor, so it's like they're acting, but it's actually animated.
I always felt like the Goku voice actor didn't look that far off from Goku. Oh,
I have no idea what he looks like. Like the dub version?
Yeah, yeah. I'll show you sometime.
Yeah. Daniel, the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles Mutant Mayhem movie is going to be in theaters August 2023. That's the one that Seth Rogen's doing.
Yeah, very excited. Probably most exciting news.
Yeah, yeah, that's super cool. I can't wait to see anything about this because I feel like he's a good person to put on this.
I want to see the designs and then the movie. I don't want anything else.
I want to see, yeah, how big the turtles are because hopefully it's somewhere between like the first live action movies and then the Michael Bay ones. You know, I feel like if it's somewhere in between there as far as bulkiness goes, nailed it.
I love a jacked ninja turtle though.
I want it, yeah, that is true. And I want to see what their masks look like.
Yeah, I bet they'll do one of the cool ones where it looks like a do-rag almost with holes cut in it.
That's probably...
Like an Iron Fist look.
You know, I don't know how I... Actually, I'm okay with that.
Like, you know that animated series that was based off of, like... actually, I don't know what it was based off of, but the Nickelodeon one where it had these, like, insane, like, almost anime-level fight scenes.
The TMNT?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, something like that.
Those would be cool.
Where they just all have, like, different kind of masks, just not the colors, you know?
Right.
And then Lady Gaga officially in The Joker 2.
Yeah, we just knew that she was, like, in talks, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's still not official that she's Harley Quinn, but she's, like, Harley Quinn, right?
She's officially in it, you know?
But yeah, yeah.
But I think it's pretty safe to say.
Yeah, or at least Harleen some Quindell. Version of Harleen, yeah.
Yeah.
There's two new series that were announced. There's an ongoing Deadpool written by Alyssa Wong with art by Martin Coccolo. I don't know those people.
Neither do I.
And there's going to be a Thanos Death Notes one-shot anthology that is going to go and revisit the Mad Titan's past. And that's going to come out in November 2022. Andrea Sorrentino is going to be on it. That's okay. The only reason why.
So there's going to be like a bunch of little stories in it?
Yeah, about his past.
Cool.
So maybe... You know,
some more baby Thanos.
We'll see some dad Titan,
yeah,
and mom Titan and stuff like that. So that'll be interesting.
Brother Titans and stuff.
Yeah, brother Titans maybe.
Just figure out how that whole lineage worked.
Yeah, maybe how he got his wrinkly ass chin.
Yeah,
imagine there's an origin for that.
I think that's just the species. Nathan, two incredible streaming services are merging: HBO Max.
And everybody's favorite.
Discovery Plus. I didn't even know Discovery Plus is a thing.
I
thought it was on Disney Plus, but that's National Geographic.
Yeah, and apparently a bunch of things are getting axed at HBO.
I think a ton of like original stuff is getting like cut, like development teams is.
Yeah.
And so I hope that doesn't mean like all the DC shit.
It's not official as of yet. But I'm surprised they didn't just right out the get-go say, like, Titans is out. Because that's, like, not a good show, even though I've watched all of it.
Yeah.
But it doesn't seem like the kind of show that would get people to subscribe. So I feel it. But there's, like, a bunch of stuff getting axed. But the good news is that the Green Lantern Corps show is still happening.
Oh, good. Did you see the ads for, like, that animated movie that's coming out? Like,
the Green Lantern
probably out already? Yeah.
Yeah, it's out.
Yeah, did you see it?
Not yet.
Okay.
I wanted to see it this weekend, and I was busy.
Is it?
And I saw a different movie.
Is it on HBO Max?
Yeah.
Okay, for sure, for sure.
Daniel Pennyworth, the HBO Max TV show, just got a rename, and it's now called...
An upgrade, Nathan.
An upgrade of a rename, and it's now called Pennyworth, The Origin of Batman's Butler, which is so dumb.
Did they think, like... Okay, I get no one knows, not a lot of people know that Alfred's last name is Pennyworth.
Mm-hmm.
But that's not, like...
They're in like.
How about the origin of Alfred?
They finished season two. Yeah, the origin of Alfred.
That's good. Way better.
It really diminishes him to be like the origin of Batman's butler.
Yeah.
Probably because Batman's not in the show. I think they're trying to like clickbait people or whatever the equivalent is for like watching TV. But like Batman's not in the show because it's just Alfred, I presume, like in the war and shit.
That makes it sound like there's going to be another spinoff. It's like the origin of Batman's suit guy.
And it's the like, origin of the guy that Morgan Freeman played. and I saw a really funny tweet about this, and it was like, that's like calling Better Call Saul, colon, the origin of Walter White's lawyer.
Yeah.
Which is ass. Like, it's like they're different and they're interesting in their own right. They just happen to be like, you know, tied to each other at some point.
Yeah.
So,
I mean, maybe I should just watch it. I'm sure it's great.
I feel like it's actually pretty solid.
If it's got season three coming.
Yeah, like season one and two are already out. So
is it a CW show?
No, it's an HBO Max original, I believe.
Okay. And then like the picture looked interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Nathan, we get another Chainsaw Man trailer. And we get a
for like release a show?
Date. Or release. Yeah, the show, the anime.
Okay, cool.
We get a release expectation, which is October of this year.
A release expectation.
Yeah, we don't have like a date.
So you know? Part of the trailer was like, we expect this to come out October.
They're like, October? Maybe.
Hopefully.
It looks fucking sick, Nathan.
That seems I'm very cool. Excited. I haven't watched it.
You I think you'd like it. You know what? Does Sophia like the horror animes at all?
Oh yeah.
Really?
She's like, big on them. She likes gory anime, which I don't understand because she doesn't like horror.
Right.
So I don't know.
Okay.
That woman is an enigma. Okay. But no, she likes like bloody shit and like scary shit, but
she's
like
she's gonna fucking love Chainsaw Man.
I feel like she would, so I'll probably end up watching it with her and say like, oh, Dana likes this.
Sick. Yeah, no, I'm stoked. Nathan, sad news.
I didn't.
CW's Gotham Knights has been canceled.
Actually, I just heard that it's not been canceled and that they're renewed for another season. So I don't know what's going on.
It's reviewed for a second season?
Yeah.
Did the first one come out?
I don't know what's going on with that show. I think it's been out.
I thought it was canceled like before it even started.
Hold on. I'm going to look it up
right now. Which I kind of hoped for.
Because I saw something like today and I'm like, how did that show survive?
Actually, the source that I had was kind of shaky on that one. But Gotham Knights. Yeah, it says 2023 series. We got a trailer.
It just says it might be canceled. Oh, apparently Strange Adventures was a show that was happening in HBO Max. But not based off the Tom King Mitch Gerrard's comic, and that was canceled.
Okay, good. Because that would be sick.
I think it was canceled. Gotham.
Because that's so random.
It's so like, weird that
that's like C, maybe even D level hero.
That people still don't know who that is, even though that
I don't even know who it is.
Adam Strange.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it seems weird that they would come out with something revolving probably around Adam Strange, name it Strange Adventures, but not have it released based on the material that popularized like the title recently.
Yeah.
Seems like a very just odd choice. So anyway, it was canceled.
Like literally every comic book adaptation should be adapting comic books. They don't need to rewrite anything. It's written already. Unless it's ass, then rewrite it.
I think if they have like a good idea.
So a better idea.
Like a better idea.
Make it a comic first.
Yeah, like
it's like why like do we have all this shit and then we just get like a version of that?
I think it depends on
the comic book is just fine.
Like definitely for like MCU since it's so
that's a right stuff to make
to fit it in the MCU, right?
So
I don't think like She-Hulk will be based off of like a comic book run. It'll probably have like the basic like idea.
It could have been based off of this run. There's like enough wiggle room to still do that. You know?
It could be, but like I don't think like the Batman was really based off of any one thing.
Yeah.
So, I agree with you. I think that like some of the cooler like comic book runs and more interesting and like storytelling innovative ones should be adapted, but not all the time.
Sure.
Just do what you want.
Do what you want.
I don't have any more news.
Oh, I have shit done on.
Okay, cool. It was a little weak for me.
James Gunn has confirmed on Twitter that Groot actually died in the first Guardians. And then like...
And like this is his kid?
And it's kind of like his son in a way. Like in a...
I... don't know how to feel about that.
That makes me sad because then like all of his memories are gone.
I think that...
Or he doesn't have his memories.
The way that I took it is when he died, it's like the same group, but he doesn't have any memory, so might as well be like a different person. But it seems weird that if he gets blown up and a bunch of branches go out, that those are like his kids, like his offspring. But I guess like in my head canon, he like blew up and he's being regrown, but he just doesn't remember anything.
I think like God took like a rib from Adam and made Eve or something. I'm probably totally butchering that, but it doesn't mean like that's Adam now, you know?
Yeah, true.
It's like another person. So that's like literally the first thing I thought of.
so you're saying Groot is God?
Because if Deadpool's cut in half, actually, that's a bad example. And he like regrows both like into two, it's basically the same person still. Anyway, moving on.
Yeah.
So very deep Rosario questions. Dawson was in an interview and she slipped up and confirmed that there's a...
A Night Nurse Disney Plus original.
I'd fucking hate that. Actually, that'd be kind of cool.
I would kind of like that, yeah.
The Punisher with John Bernthal is going to be...
Oh, I saw that.
Continuing with Disney Plus.
Bring everybody back except Ryan
Fist. She was using it as like a way to like promote the Night Nurse coming back. She's trying to get like the people that were watching the interview, like, let's get Disney on board or whatever. But she totally slipped up that the Punisher hadn't been announced yet.
Oh.
So
she was trying to get her own Disney Plus thing? Or
she was
like,
just trying to get into the new Punisher
get into
thing.
The new generation. Okay. That's so funny. That's great, though. I think he's great. I still haven't watched Punisher season 2, actually, but I heard it's really good.
I started it, and it was kind of slow.
Yeah, but he's great, sure, great as Punisher. So the best. That'll be cool to see him back. Do you see like the Daredevil yellow suit stuff?
I just saw a still of like his helmet.
I saw like a couple things, and I think if you were to show me that, I wouldn't have recognized that it was his yellow suit because it didn't look very yellow.
Yeah, they can't just have like bright ass yellow.
Yeah, but like have yellow at least.
It was like a mustard yellow.
It was like
or like a goldish.
It was like golden brown. That's
like,
what it was.
It's like dirty yellow.
You know? Yeah. Yeah. So I wasn't able to tell that it was even yellow. No, I want go all in. Go full bright ass yellow.
Yeah.
Highlighter even.
Highlighter yellow.
Yeah.
Nathan, Ezra Miller back at it again. charged with a felony burglary in Vermont.
And they still canceled Batgirl.
Yeah.
Instead.
Maybe this is all set up for him to be like Reverse Flash.
Yeah, I heard a couple jokes like that. There's been a couple like pretty fire jokes this time around.
Yeah, you think it'd be done. Like last one, I don't think anyone really cared because it was so soon.
Yeah, but no, he's still going. That guy's something else.
Sonic 3 confirmed?
Yep, releases the same day as Avatar 3 apparently.
Really?
Yeah, so... Battle of the Giants there.
I had to Google to see if there were Sonic comics, and there are, and it's actually a pretty long run.
Sonics? are there? By IDW?
Conics? Yeah.
That makes sense.
Yeah, it's like 80 issues right now.
Holy shit.
I'm like, how is the Sonic run longer
right
than
now?
Longer than like The Boys and Sandman.
Oh my god. must be a huge franchise.
Yeah, I think it started in like 18. It's like still going. I could be wrong. Oh my gosh. Nathan, it's kind of news. So, you know the upcoming Mark Miller book called The Night Club, where it's like vampires that want to be superheroes?
Oh, yeah.
So, it was announced that it'll have a cover price of $1.99.
That's pretty cool.
Isn't that fucking sick?
Full pages?
All the pages.
All the pages.
No missing pages there.
Wow. That's crazy.
Yeah, even cheaper than Saga?
I wonder... I
love creators trying to save comics, you know?
Yeah, true. That is nice. I wonder how that happens, though. It must be like Netflix giving them some money, maybe, to like make something that they will then later adapt. And so they're like investing and giving him money to like publish something.
Probably.
To get people to at least pick up the first issue. Because like $3? Or no, $2?
$2.
Easy.
Yeah, no problem. I'll get two.
I picked up a book last week that was $6.
I'll get two, give one to a homeless guy. I don't know.
Yeah, true.
Why not? And then he can realize that he can afford the next issue. You know?
Yeah, exactly. If he saves up over the next month.
Yeah, give him a bag and board. It's up to him to keep it safe.
Yeah.
You know? That's on my news, but pretty exciting.
Yeah, good stuff.
Because like, I don't think I'd ever see a comic cheaper than like $2.99. You know what I mean?
Yeah, not one that like has recently come out. That's for sure.
I don't think they're gonna be like
actually
making a ton.
I'm there sure. has been one when Image had their 25th anniversary.
Oh my god, that's true.
They released them for a quarter.
That was pretty sick.
Which seems annoying for the comic book shops.
So how the fuck did that work? There was like an incentive to where like they didn't get fucked on that.
Okay.
I think they got them all for free or something.
Okay.
I don't remember the details, but I feel like it'd be kind of almost like selfish for them to do something like that.
I feel like Kirkman has that sort of foresight and
yeah.
and knowledge on the industry to, yeah, I think it was free, I want to say.
But even though like you're still profiting more than like a quarter.
Yeah, exactly.
On each comic book that's sold, but. Anyway, let's get into the book, shall we?
Yes. What did we read, Daniel?
We read She-Hulk, Law and Disorder.
Which is a great title.
Fantastic title. Love it.
By Charles Soule, Javier Pulido, and then Ron Wimberly took over the last two issues. And we got Clayton Callas, a couple different color artists. And goddamn, what'd you think of this?
I thought it was a lot of fun. I moved really, really well for me. The art took like a little bit getting used to, but once I got used to it, I was like, this is sick.
Yeah, once you get used to like what like Javier's kind of going for, I think.
Yeah.
I think he's great.
Yeah,
definitely. I didn't necessarily like the issue 5 and 6 art.
Yeah, no. There's things I liked about it, but like I prefer Javier's for sure.
Javier definitely had the more creative like compositions and just funner pages and funner
it was like setting the tone for the book.
Yeah, exactly.
And I think like when you start a book with like an artist that looks a certain way, like kind of stands out from other artists,
yeah,
then you kind of just kind of get used to their art style with like the book and you kind of start to love it.
Exactly. And this is a book that I'm not sure if it was Charles Soule like first kind of ongoing. It was definitely one of his earlier ones because he was still practicing law while writing this book.
Right.
Which is a pretty fun fact, especially since She-Hulk herself is a lawyer. Mm-hmm, and mm-hmm. I think that really shows in here.
Oh, yeah.
Like, I learned some stuff about law and I'm like, okay, that's interesting. But
like, I didn't learn this in Better Call Saul.
Yeah, I know. I didn't know what an asylum was.
Yeah.
But it's very clear that he knows that space very well, and he also loves comics, and so he was able to really like combine those two things together and make like a really fun, engaging story that is like something I've never seen before, and I think it was sick.
Yeah, definitely.
I think he did a great job.
Because like there wasn't like too much action, and even if there was, you didn't really need it.
It was kind of like just fun action, you know?
Yeah, yeah. But like what connected me to it was having these like law stories be like very interesting in the Marvel universe.
Yeah, because it's like superhero law most of the time.
Yeah.
Like she's not necessarily like marketing herself as like a superhero lawyer, but she just, because of her line of work, gets superhero stuff.
Like because she's green, she gets all the superhero shit.
Yeah, pretty much. And I also think that Kevin Wada, the guy that's the cover artist, because we see like the issue covers in between like the issues.
Yeah.
He's a great fucking cover artist.
It'd be cool if he was like on interiors.
Yeah. I think he has been for something, but I remember specifically like liking his stuff and just rereading it. It's very cool, but let's get into it.
So we get like a page that kind of gives her origin, which I didn't really know. So this was like a learning experience for me.
So what did you learn? She drinks a lot.
You know what? No, I didn't know that, but I like her more for it.
Yeah.
So she's Bruce Banner's cousin.
Correct.
And she got her Hulk powers from like a blood transfusion that he helped with for some reason.
Yeah. So she needed a blood transfusion. And like the only person that was nearby that I guess had her blood type was Bruce Banner. And so when you mix blood, I guess you just become the Hulk. Or at least that's the comic book logic there. So
yeah.
But was a lawyer before, and she's still a lawyer, and she's very green. And big, but that's just like her strutting her stuff, you know? So she was working at this big law firm and she quits her job as like this big hotshot lawyer from this firm because they didn't give her a bonus because they were expecting her to bring in more superhero cases just based off of her like line of work. and
rich superhero cases.
Yeah, like superhero cases probably like bring in a lot of, you know, bring in a lot of money. And she wasn't like
publicity,
doing that. Even though she did like 3,000 hours or whatever it was, you know, billable hours. She's a very successful normal lawyer, but because she didn't get any like Fantastic Four cases or anything like that, they didn't bonus her. So she quits.
Yeah.
And that scene where she like breaks the table that they're on is so good.
Yeah. She just like flicks it. Or yeah. Taps it.
She taps it and then like the whole thing splits in half and everybody like falls off their seat.
They're talking about how expensive it was and shit like that.
Yeah. And they're like, they sourced it from like Latveria or whatever.
Yeah.
And, so after that, she goes to the lawyer bar, which I just like love the idea of.
A lawyer bar? A
lawyer bar. Like, this is where all the lawyers come and hang out.
But there needs to be like a comic bar or something.
There should be.
Dude, let's make a bar.
They have like that superhero. Have you seen that superhero restaurant?
That's Comic X or something like that?
Yeah, something like that.
Yeah, yeah.
That place is cool.
Yeah, but it's like so far.
It is very far. From
fun places.
Yeah, I agree.
So it's like you have to like plan your day around it.
Yeah, it is kind of a bummer.
No, like in Tempe, we'll have a comic bar. It'd be sick.
Good fries, though.
Oh, fries?
Yeah.
Oh, so you have been there?
I've been there, yeah.
Oh, okay.
They have like, it's not exclusively comics, though, because they have like Gears of War stuff and like Halo stuff and Star Wars stuff.
There's Star Wars comics.
There are Star Wars comics, but it's like Jar Jar Binks' statue is like here, you know?
Good.
Yeah.
So there's the Jar Jar
comic.
That'd be great, so annoying. Yeah.
Just him growing up.
And you just like keep fucking reading like Misa, whatever.
I know. Blah, blah, yeah. Blah. The dialogue would be atrocious. I want at least a one shot. But anyway, so she's at the lawyer bar and she picks up a client named Holly Harrow who needs help because she believes that Stark Industries stole her late husband's technology. And Holly like tries going to other lawyers first, but they don't want to touch like Stark Industries because it's like career suicide. So she goes to Jen and Jen's like, well, let me just talk to Tony first about the case. And she's like, most of lawyering is just talking to people. And so she goes to Stark Tower and she's blocked entry by this guy named Legal. And that's Tony Stark's legal guy. And I love Legal. I think he's a really funny character because obviously like Tony wouldn't have the time for like every single legal case.
Yeah.
So he just got this guy that's super dedicated and he's like named Legal. And he has this really funny line where he's like, I'm neither good nor bad. I'm simply legal.
Yeah. Like his whole purpose is this job.
Yeah, it really is. And it's like such a good, you get a good sense of like Javier's double page spreads in the, like these couple pages. Like she goes to the 18th floor, which is where Legal is. And it's just like this big, huge hallway. And at the very end is where Legal is, which I think is really funny.
Yeah.
But
this is a really cool just like panel design.
Yeah, it really was because it's things are kind of like on their side or whatever, but it kind of just shows how wacky it is.
Right.
But she tries taking Stark Industries to court and is like buried under a bunch of legal work. And Jen ends up just, you know, trying to find more evidence in Holly's old storage space, which is filled with her husband's things. And she ends up like finding something. And she fights her way through Stark Tower to finally have a conversation with Tony, who ends up wanting to help. And then she writes Holly like a good check.
I thought small detail, but I thought it was funny that she had like purple underwear on.
Yeah. When she was fighting through like things, she got all ripped up.
Yeah.
And she like breaks through like the elevator door. I like this like small moment where she feels like she's going to like taking on the case is going to be too much. And then she like looks over to Holly's like family and how much that they could like use the money and continues to clean like all the wacky shit out of this like person's storage space. And like, I guess Holly's husband, like
there's like a tank in there.
Yeah. Like Holly's husband used to be like a wacky, like inventor supervillain guy maybe. And like, it's just funny to think that that guy would have a storage space full to just like wacky shit that she ends up fighting.
That makes tons of sense to me.
Yeah. It's just such a good idea, you know? Cause like low level heroes, they wouldn't have like a whole warehouse. They would just like rent a storage space probably.
Yeah, this is in like a U-Haul self-storage.
Yeah, and Javier like really plays into that idea when like she's carrying stuff out of there and like carrying the tank or like a bunch of boxes. Like there's a lot of really good just like She-Hulk visual things in here that are I think really good. I also like all the automation and stuff in Stark Tower. Like when she walks into Stark Tower the second time, there's like robots that fly up to her and they're like, you know, you're not allowed in here because we're pursuing legal action against you or whatever. And so she just like has to fight through them.
Yeah.
I like all that stuff. But So Tony Stark gives her a big check, and later at the lawyer bar, Holly finds She-Hulk and pays her a $150,000 check, which allows She-Hulk to open her own private practice, which is nice. So it's like a really solid, like, well-rounded first issue.
Mm-hmm.
Very satisfying. And kind of, like, you know, shows you how kind of wacky, like, She-Hulk's life is. Like, she's just trying to be, like, this normal lawyer, but then gets kind of intertwined with, like, superhero shit. And I think it's really cool.
Right.
And, like, the amount of complications that, like, would go into, like, superhero law is, like, endless. So there's, like, a lot of really fun ideas, I'm sure, to play with.
Definitely.
But issue two...
get a Ryan Stegman
cover. Oh, yeah. There's, like, a lot of, like, pretty good cover artists in here that are, like, big now.
We've just been... what is this, our second week in a row where Ryan Stegman cover is, like, in
the... he's just always been doing covers, I guess. But, like, I guess maybe at this time he would have been doing, like, Superior Spider-Man or something.
Probably.
Or Scarlet Spider, whichever one he did.
Like, I had no idea of him until, like, Venom.
Yeah, you know? Same. I didn't really...
and then it. Now you just see him, like sprinkled about everywhere.
But he had done, like, Avengers and, like, Inhuman. Inhuman was after this, though. So I'm not even sure what he was doing at this point. But he had done, like, some Spider stuff.
I thought how it kind of worked is you'd have, like, some sort of, like, legendary run or something like that. Or you make a big name for yourself. So you don't necessarily have to do interiors. And you just do covers for, like, a really expensive price.
Yeah.
You just kind of ride off that.
The Alex Ross model.
Yeah, the Alex Ross model.
The Scotty Young model.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I think that's the goal for
a
lot of
people. Got a Scotty Young cover today.
Which one?
We'll talk about it.
Okay, true. So, yeah, issue two, She-Hulk's in her own practice, and she doesn't have any cases except for, like, this particular blue file that was from her last job. And it seems like it's a lawsuit that's involving her and a bunch of random, like, heroes and villains. But she's renting out an office space in a building that rents out to superhumans, like, exclusively,
mm-hmm.
which I think is a really fun idea.
Dude, what if there is, like, an only superhero gym where they have, cool. like, barbells that could hold, like, thousands of pounds?
They're like the mass of the sun.
Yeah. Yeah. See, that's a great idea.
And, like, squat racks. And then, like, those treadmills that go really fast when you, like, those curved ones.
Yeah. But the flash
uses. They go much faster. Yeah. Yeah, they have those cosmic treadmills.
Oh, my God. I'm going to cut this out, and then we'll pitch this.
You're absolutely right. What do we call it?
It's got to be better than Super Gym.
I mean, there's, like, the Just Lift League, which is, like, that pun that like Flex Comics has.
Yeah, I have that tank top.
Yeah. So Just Lift League would be pretty solid in the DC universe.
Yeah. I feel like the idea would actually potentially have legs in, like, the Marvel universe because it's a little silly.
Yeah, it's a little... I mean, DC stuff can be pretty silly sometimes.
Anyway.
Yeah.
I don't know. Nothing.
But this, like, superhuman... building is pretty fun because they have, like, that double page spread where they're just kind of, like, walking around, and there's, like, people phasing through walls and shit, and people, like, climbing on the walls. And I think that was pretty fun.
Yeah, just super random shit. There's some Mary Poppins girl in the corner.
Mm-hmm. And so Jen hires a paralegal, and her name's Angie, and she has a pet monkey named Hey Hey, which is pretty cute.
Naturally.
Yep. And She-Hulk's trying to get, like, some work from her past connections, but I guess her last job, like, doxed her so hard that she can't get any work.
Mm-hmm.
So she goes to get drinks with Patsy Walker Hellcat.
Yeah.
And they get drunk enough to just, like, drunkenly take down an AIM warehouse. And they do that. And so She-Hulk hires Patsy Walker as her private investigator.
I love this She-Hulk, like, costume that she wears.
Yeah. It's so good.
It looks so good.
It's just, like, I like the high boots, and I don't know, it's just very fun.
Just
I also like how
Javier
draws like a Hellcat. She's kind of like, I don't know. I don't even know what you call that.
Looking.
Yeah, she looks very brawly, I guess.
Yeah.
Like she's about to wrestle someone. And then, like, She-Hulk is super strong, so she's just kind of like standing there like, what the fuck is about to happen? Because she doesn't need to be, like, I don't know, that strategic.
Right.
And I like this montage where she's, like, trying to make all these connections, like, and get work. Because, like, all the different people that she calls end up being, like, colored different, like, colors in the word balloons. And I thought that was pretty effective in, like, making a montage.
Yeah, yeah.
And I also just like how Javier uses, like, silhouettes a lot of the time. Because, like, there's this one where they're dancing, like, in the bar. And it's kind of, like, funky in a way. But, like, it gets the point across and it's pretty fun. But I find that he makes like a lot of really effective like silhouettes.
I bet he like tries to draw it and then he just like can't get like the face right or something.
Maybe
he's like, I'll just fucking
or maybe he's like I don't know how to draw from this angle, so he just draws a silhouette. But I like aesthetically how it looks.
Yeah.
So also when she's taking down
you
like
would
these,
love Sin City.
Probably. Yeah. I like a good silhouette.
Silhouette not galore.
You know, why do more when you could do less?
Of course.
And there's like this really crazy double page spread where it's just a, like a zoom in on her eyes. And I thought that was ballsy because I'd never seen a double page spread dedicated to something like so little, you know?
Yeah.
But it was like when she was like, you know, don't fuck with me right now. Like my life is falling apart. And like, look at my eyes and tell me if I'm not going to kill you right now.
Hmm.
So I thought that was pretty fun. But next morning, She-Hulk gets a surprise client, which is Dr. Doom's son trying to legally defect from Latveria.
Yeah.
So that's pretty fun. I didn't know Dr. Doom had a son.
Neither did I.
But I guess he's there. We get another Scotty Young variant.
Yeah.
That guy's been in the biz for a while.
Like long enough for Mike to know who he is and recognize his artwork.
Yeah, I thought that was...
Yeah, he's like, is that Scotty Young? I'm like, how do you know Scotty Young?
Yeah.
He's only been working like the last 15
ours.
Years.
He's ours.
Yeah, he's our generation.
Yeah.
You go away. You got like Alex Ross in his prime.
Yeah, exactly. And you got like, yeah, like the Mark Wades and stuff like that. And the Jim Lees.
You got Jim Lee working.
Yeah.
Tons of people. You got, imagine picking up a single issue and it had fucking Frank Quitely interiors.
Yeah, just casually in a,
yeah.
in a little floppy.
Little floppy.
That's insane.
Not just like going back to shit that he used to do.
That's
you know?
Bizarre to me. Yeah. Or just like Mike Mignola.
He's still working though.
Yeah, but he just does covers and then he writes. But he doesn't do like the interiors anymore, you know?
Really? And none of his Hellboy stuff?
None of the Hellboy stuff. He just co-writes.
Mm.
And then he does like a little cover because people will pick it up.
Gotcha. Yeah, no, his cover.
I feel like
that's enough. At least there's something.
I feel like
can you imagine a cover by someone like a Hellboy cover by someone other than him, like on a trade, and you try and buy it or something like that?
No, thank you.
It's like no.
Who is this? Who is this Hellboy?
His shoulders aren't shrugged enough. Like
yeah, his shoulders aren't flat, like triangular.
Yeah,
his stature's not triangular enough. I feel like if I was thinking about this. If I went back in time just randomly and I was like, how do I get rich? The only way I would know how to do that is by collecting comics. Like, I don't remember who wins any Super Bowl, you know? So I wouldn't be able to like
sports bet. I know a handful of those.
Yeah, I wouldn't be able to like sports bet that kind of thing.
So...
Or like...
Yeah.
Things like that. Like,
well, like stocks and shit. You can get in Bitcoin early
and
then know when to cash out.
Get in Ethereum early.
Get into NFTs early.
Oh, yeah. Get right on top of that.
Get one of those stupid monkeys and then sell at the right time.
That's true, stocks. But I don't know how to do stocks. So it's like I would much rather buy an Amazing Fantasy 15 early on.
You know what I daydream about like a lot?
What?
Is like going back in time, but it's like I'm not like this age. I just have my brain in the past. So imagine like... A five-year-old Daniel, you know, just falling over himself or whatever, trying to convince dad to put like his birthday money into like a bookstore stock.
Called Amazon?
Yeah. Be like, dad, put it all in here. And if
so
you're smart, you do it
It's your brain now, but in your younger self.
Yeah. So I think about that a lot. I think everyone does. But like, be like...
It's kind of like...
Trying to convince... I can't even convince myself to buy Bitcoin because I don't... know if I'd be able to explain it to somebody, you know? So if I like...
There's a thing called crypto.
Like, dad, there's going to be this thing. It's money, but not from a country.
Yeah, it's made up.
And the value just goes up. He's like, what causes it to go up? Like, I don't know.
I remember
people want it.
I remember when Dogecoin first started and someone told me what that was. And I'm like, that's the dumbest thing I've ever heard. But I kind of respect it because it's like, it was so low at that time. It was like when I was in college.
Like fractions of cents.
Like years and years. Yeah, fractions of a cent. And I'm like, well, best of luck to you. And this guy that I knew that was in my class, I was like at my table or whatever, was talking to me about it. And he's like, yeah, dude, I just put like $50 in. We'll see what happens. So I really hope that he made out good when that coin did shoot up.
I think Lynn has some Dogecoin, like $50 or $100 in there.
Yeah.
When I think when like Elon Musk endorsed it.
Yeah, but at that time, that's when you want to sell.
Yeah, yeah.
But yeah, anyway, I feel like if I went back in time, I would just get rich off of comics.
Yeah, dude. Because, I mean, there's some stuff that I see now, and I'm like, I can't believe that's in front of me right now.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I'm like, how is this just like in circulation?
Yeah, get all the like new Teen Titans, get all the Action Comics' number ones, Detective Comics' 27.
You could honestly do pretty good just from like your picture memory, I guess. Like I've seen that cover is on a shirt in Target.
Yeah, must be good.
Gotta get this X-Men or whatever.
Yeah.
And so you can probably do pretty well just from that. Not just like the, oh, Detective Comics, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah. Even just ones that you recognize. Yeah.
But like
first appearances.
Wait, so if you're going back in time, are you able to jump forward in time?
No, I think if I just,
you gotta wait it out.
Like I get jumped back to the 40s and it's like, I gotta keep this Captain America comic.
Yeah, or
where he's punching Hitler, you know?
Yeah.
Or, like, I think any time period, really, because I feel like there's a pretty expensive comic book, like, any time before, like, 10 years ago, you know?
Yeah. I'm like a Spawn number one.
Yeah, like a Spawn, like Civil War, something mm-hmm. like that, or, like...
Don't you have all those issues?
I do.
Hmm.
Big Flex. They're not, like, graded, and they don't... I think when I bought them at the time, they were just fine, you know, because they have like very fine near mint, well, all that.
Were they expensive?
Not at the time.
Oh.
Yeah, it's pretty simple.
Yeah, I remember reading those in my car in the parking lot about to go see that movie with you.
Did I give you those?
Yeah, you like read these. I'm like, okay.
The fuck was I doing?
So I was like, I didn't like read them in time. So I'm like, oh, I'll just take them and go early. And so I was like reading them in the parking lot. I'm like, wow. So because I like want to know what happened, I guess.
Yeah.
Didn't pan out the same way at all. But yeah,
there wasn't like a weird second version of Thor that came in randomly.
Yeah. And they called him Ragnarok for some reason.
Yeah. I still don't know what that's about.
I'm like, I need help.
There wasn't a, who's that big guy that died from that Thor?
Wasn't that Hercules?
No.
You sure?
No. It's the guy that was in Ant-Man 2.
Giant man.
Gigantor. I don't know. I can't remember, but he dies. There's a lot of weird stuff that happens.
Adam Smasher.
No, that's DC.
Giganta?
It's the guy that Lawrence Fishburne plays.
It's not Giant Man?
I don't think so. Apparently, Lawrence Fishburne is co-creator and executive producer on Moon Girl and Devil Dinosaur. What the fuck does that mean?
Is that a show?
I guess.
Is he going to be in it? Is he going to reprise his role as Giant Man or whatever he is?
Maybe. Hold on. Why isn't that just telling me who he plays? Bill Foster, yeah. Goliath, that's what it is.
Oh.
Okay, I knew that Giant Man was wrong. Anyway, let's get back into She-Hulk.
I love those just like super literal and just super dumb names.
They're so dumb.
Giant Man?
Giant Man sucks. I think Goliath's kind of cool though.
Goliath is a cooler name.
That'd be cool, like dog name.
Goliath? Yeah, definitely.
100%.
Anyway.
So issue 3, Kristoff wants to get legal asylum in America because he knows that his dad, Dr. Doom, will want him to take over Latveria, but he's going to want him to rule it in his like image or shadow,
yeah,
and not on his own. And so he just wants to like get to America and like legally stay there, which is a thing. I didn't know that was a thing.
Yeah.
But since Kristoff has been in America for exactly a year to date, they only have that day to make the claim because anytime after a year you've been in America, you can't do that anymore, I guess. Another lawyer thing that I wouldn't have known. So thanks, Charles Soule. But they need to make the claim today, so they like start rushing to the courthouse.
Let me stop you there.
Okay.
So one of my favorite parts in the book. So when he's explaining all this to She-Hulk, the paralegal, Angie or whatever.
Angie.
And the monkey are both like taking notes on like what's happening.
Yeah, I love that.
I thought that was really funny.
Yeah, I liked a lot of these double page spreads because like just a lot of the simple dialogue is just them doing like double page spread stuff.
Yeah, and it's not like too dense or anything. It seems and it flows really well.
Yeah, it is really nice.
And they go to a coffee bean.
Just coffee bean.
Not the coffee bean.
No tea leaves.
What I thought was funny. So I looked it up. I was like, when did the coffee bean start? This little picture says it started like since 1962. The real coffee bean actually started in 1963. And I thought that was funny. I'm like, he just like tweaked it by 1 year.
Yeah. He just like, I don't want to make it too on the nose.
Yeah.
Won't change it by 1 year. Like, he copied the homework, but changed the answers a little bit.
Yeah, I know.
So, like, what I really enjoy is that Jen is, like, calling up, like, judges and stuff to be like, hey, I need you for this. Like, can you be at the courthouse? And it kind of feels like Better Call Saul, too, because Jen's, like, pulling all these, like, strings to, like, try and get a judge to see them and stuff.
Yeah.
Which I really enjoy that aspect of.
She's like Kim Wexler.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah, that's a great... That actor should have played She-Hulk. That would have been so good.
I wouldn't hate that.
She's a great actor, though, in that show.
She's, like, too good.
She's the baddest bitch.
I believe she's a real person.
In the whole Breaking Bad-iverse. So it turns out that Kristoff's chauffeur that was driving them around is a Doombot. Hate when that happens. And they're trying to bring Kristoff to the airport. And
it's almost as bad as him being a Skrull.
Yeah, pretty much. But the Doombot ejects She-Hulk out, which I think is really funny that Doom would have thought to like put ejector seats in his car.
Ejectocitos.
Yeah. And so she ends up stopping the bot, and like they still really need to get to the courthouse, so they borrow a fantastic car to make it to the courthouse on time.
This thing looks like a dick.
It's always looked like a dick. Have you never seen this?
No, I have seen it. I think I saw it in the movies. It looks a lot better,
for sure.
It's in the movies?
Yeah. That's what they draw in the second movie.
Like the movie that we've seen?
Yeah, Dawn of the Silver Surfer, whatever it's called. What is it called?
To Me?
No, the second one. The second Fantastic Four movie.
Oh.
It's like...
Fantastic Four, the Silver Surfer?
Is that what it's called?
Yeah. What'd you call it?
I call it Dawn of the Silver Surfer because I'm getting confused with...
You mean DC. Dawn?
Like Dawn, like D-A-W-N.
Oh, I thought you meant like Dawn, the girl that was with Silver Surfer.
No. That'd be cool.
They have, it's called Dawn of the Silver Surfer, and Dawn is in it.
That's this. We got two ideas to send to Marvel now.
Gotta cut him out.
Yeah, we gotta cut him out. Yeah, and I like that the only reason that they're on a deadline is because no judge would stay at the courthouse past 5. Like, that's such a funny, like... thing to be on a deadline for.
Yeah.
And I also just like, you know, just to praise his double page spreads again, like this spread where she gets ejected out and like you see her.
Oh,
like,
dude, that's so out. Different. That looks like a Bentley, dude.
I know. It's it's much different.
I thought it was gonna look like a dick.
No, I want to say that there was a second one that had like the three in the back and one in the front situation. Maybe I'm wrong.
You're probably wrong.
I think I'm thinking of X-Men.
No way they have a budget like that.
Remember the X-Men? They had that ship?
Yeah, it was just a jet.
It was, no, it looks... doesn't look like a dick, but it's got like a triangular shape, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah, because it's like a jet.
What is that thing called? The jet?
The X-Jet.
X-Men? No, it's called something. Anyway.
Look it up. some work.
I'm looking it up now. I just didn't want
you just to keep asking me things that I don't know.
You don't know Goliath. You don't know about the Fantastic Car. The X-Men jet.
I've never ridden.
It's called the Blackbird.
The Blackbird?
Yeah.
That sounds like unlikely that they just call it the Blackbird.
No.
There's no
X-Men
pun or anything?
It's called... maybe it is called the X-Jet.
Yeah, you dipshit. Never mind. Or the Wing Jet?
No, I think it's if it's a jet, it's going to have wings. So I don't know. That seems a bit redundant.
Sarah's leaving. I hope she comes back.
X-Jet. I guess it is. It's X-Jet Blackbird. I'm done with this
topic. You're just making stuff up.
I really am.
To make you more right.
Anyway, at the courthouse, they're sworn by Doombots, but Patsy Walker was actually disguised as Kristoff to trick them while he actually went to court. And then the judge... does end up granting him asylum, but Dr. Doom smashes through the ceiling and takes his son and leaves. So that's kind of unfortunate.
Yeah, they were so close.
Yeah, they were like there. I enjoyed seeing like Jen Walters just like walk into the courthouse and she's all ripped up and shit.
Yeah.
That's just like a fun idea. But yeah, he just like straight up blasts through. He can fly apparently. I don't know what that's about.
Dr. Doom?
Yeah, because he just kind of like levitates there.
He can always do that, right?
I don't think he's a big flyer, but
You just think he walks everywhere?
I don't know what Dr. Doom does. I'm going to be completely honest.
He's an electricity guy.
I don't think so.
He shocks people.
He's always been like that?
With his fun facts.
Maybe you're right.
Because like, I just remember...
sometimes I feel like he has magic.
Probably, yeah. I don't think we've gotten any adaptation of anything to where it's very clear.
No, definitely not.
I don't even know if he really did anything in that reboot, Fantastic Four.
Some metal melted on his face. I think he had electricity, though.
Yeah. He's basically just like Lord Sidious, but just the one power.
Yeah. You're talking about Fan Four Stick?
Yeah.
Where they have the four in the middle?
Yeah. So
it's clever. Anyway, issue four, She-Hulk gets some advice from Matt Murdock about the whole Doom thing, and she's like, this is kind of bumming me out. What do I do? And so Daredevil explains that he once had to break into prison to get evidence to clear Black Cat's name. And so he's like, sometimes superheroes just got to go through like extra very illegal lengths to prove your person innocent.
Like if you can do super things as a super lawyer, then shouldn't you?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And that's a real thing that happened apparently, because there's like a reference, which I think is cool, but
deep cut.
I think that this is a great silhouette of them like jumping into a fight.
So sick.
Like
I find it strange that he's just this perfect T shape as he's jumping.
I just love that aesthetic somehow. Like I don't want him in an action pose. I just want him doing like whatever this is.
Yeah.
It's so sick. And then like
he's only like 4 feet above the ground.
Yeah, he's gonna have to flip real soon. But and then She-Hulk just looks like a brawler and it's so good. But I also like that they're homies and they're like excited for the day that they'll eventually have to like face off in court.
Yeah.
That's like a nice understanding.
I bet that happens in this run.
You know, it probably is foreshadowing, which I would love to see. But yeah, that's pretty cool. It's probably happened a couple times. Cause they're like the only two lawyers.
I need someone who just knows everything that
I don't know. I feel like I know a lot and I don't know anything, you know?
People ask me questions. I'm like, you know, they're like, I assume you're a comics expert. I'm like, I know a lot about the things that
I know.
Yeah. Because someone asked me about like, what was it? Like the Black Knight. Because it was in Eternals. I love that guy. I'm like, I have no fucking clue.
Yeah, he's got a sword. It's called the Necros Sword.
No, he doesn't.
The Ebony Blade?
Ebony Blade.
That's what it is. Yeah. Necrosword is gore, I think.
Yeah,
it is. Okay. There's two black swords. Okay. Just, there can only be one.
Have you read any Black Knight?
Yes, there was a Secret Wars Battle World one shot that Black Knight was in. I thought the cover was really cool, and I got cover baited by Julian Totino Tedesco, and I was like, "This guy looks fucking sick."
That's their job, yeah.
And it was a shitty issue, but I really liked that character.
Have you read any runs?
No,
really.
I like the really campy looking runs, but okay. I think I had this idea in my head of what I thought that character was, and I was like, "That sounds really interesting," and it wasn't that at all.
What is he? He's just a knight, right? Just, that has a sword?
I have no idea, to be honest.
We should do a Black Knight episode.
Yeah, we should.
Because there's a couple of trades out there.
We should just read trades of people we know nothing about. Jack shit about, you know?
Yeah, like She-Hulk.
Like She-Hulk, yeah.
Let's have a She-Hulk episode.
If someone asked me a She-Hulk question, it would most likely be I have no fucking idea.
You know, people did ask me about that, like, you know, knowing when the show comes out, and I think I answered all their questions, you know? They're like, how does she get the powers? I'm like, oh, she's like the cousin or whatever.
Yeah.
And then
blood transfusion.
They're like, what was that breaking the fourth wall thing? I'm like, she does that. They're like, like Deadpool? I'm like, yes, like Deadpool. But kind of, but
not
more
as,
tasteful.
Not as shitty. Yeah.
Yeah. Not like all the time and shitting on, and like shitting on Marvel or whatever.
She isn't doing this run. I think that was more Dan Slott that did that. I don't know when she fourth wall breaks because she doesn't do it here.
Maybe we missed it because she stares at you, the reader, quite a bit.
But she doesn't, like, talk to us, which is more fourth wall breaking.
Maybe it's like, I described it as, like, she does it like a Ferris Bueller, almost.
Yeah, that's exactly what it is.
So she's like, she'll glance at you.
You don't see Ferris Bueller as, like, a Deadpool.
No.
But, like,
even though Deadpool was in the Ferris Bueller thing and that after credits, she was, like, in the house.
Oh, he's like, what are you still doing here? That was pretty funny.
Iconic.
Yeah.
Full circle. We
full circle. Yep. So She-Hulk flies to Latveria and she breaks into Doom Castle to get Kristoff. And there's like a bunch of Doom bots swarming around. So when she breaks in, she uses a mortar in the castle to fight off the swarm of Doom bots, which is pretty fun. But she gets grabbed by Big Doom.
Gigantic
who's,
Doom.
Who's in like this huge robotic suit. And she explains that Kristoff's concerns are that he doesn't want to rule. And then Kristoff is like there and like a little floaty thing. And he's like, yeah, she right. And so Doom,
this,
like,
this lets is like them a moped up. That flies.
I don't know what this is, but he's
with the sidecar.
We don't know that he's there. And She-Hulk's like, your son doesn't want to be here. And then Doom just like looks off panel and he's like, is this correct? And then he's just in
does
a
she
floating,
speak the truth?
Yeah. And then he's just in a floating moped. I'm like, what is this? What is going on right now? Was he just there the whole time?
This is incredible timing.
Did he hear that she was there and then was like, I need to get my floating moped?
He heard her smash.
He must know? Have, yeah.
Smashing's pretty loud.
The big Doom is insane, right? Like, why so does he have
funny.
That? Why does he have
the,
that?
When I saw that, I'm like, what is this?
I don't know, dude. Because
he's got these mechs now?
I guess so. To protect Latveria or rule
to
Latveria.
Fight kaijus? Like, what is that?
You never know. And it's also funny that, like...
It doesn't look like a mech. It's just...
It would look,
this is Dr. Doom blown up without a hood.
It would look better if he had the hood, for sure. Because he just looks bald.
Yeah.
Is he but in the center would, of it? Like,
why
Titan
would you
fall?
Make a mech and you're so narcissistic that you need to have it to have a hood so it looks more like you?
It
we
looks
get it.
A lot like him
That's
already.
Doom.
He gives him a green suit, like a green leotard suit thing.
And the golden belt buckle.
It's got a belt.
Like
why
Santa
does your
Claus.
Robot need a belt?
So his mech pants don't fall off.
Oh shit, I didn't think of that.
So
it's insane. It's insane.
This oh man.
How much leather was that?
Like
too much.
And it's got these like human looking eyes.
It does. But it's got a robot bender mouth, like Futurama bender mouth.
Yeah.
I don't understand it. But also like She-Hulk was paid in Latverian francs. Which apparently is a legal tender in the U.S., so she basically did everything for free, which sucks. And She-Hulk's now back at home, decides to dig into the blue file, which she doesn't remember being a part of, but that's her next thing. So that was all of Javier Pulido's run.
Yeah.
And the next two issues are them going into the blue file, and it's this other dude named Ron Wimberly, I think it was.
Mm-hmm. Or John Wimberly?
John Wimberly, something like that. It's a different artist. It's very jarring at first.
Dude, first panel, you're like, whoa, that's different.
What happened? Like, he does have a style that I think
It's fisheye lens.
He does have a fisheye lens style, which I think is really cool.
It is cool.
But when he doesn't do that, everything else looks weird. Like, I don't mean to, like, shit on him, but it looks like he's trying to do Phil Hester. But no one's Phil Hester except for Phil Hester, you know?
Sure.
And Phil Hester fucking nails his shit, you know?
I there was a lot of shit that I liked about this, you know? But there it was just like so...
Different.
Different and like artistic.
And I loved how cute in Javier's like stuff was.
Yeah, it was
it's
super
like,
simple.
It's cute, fun, energetic, you know, very distinct.
Javier's was like what I wish JRJR is, would be.
That's fair.
Like because it just reminded me of it so much, but it was just done better in my opinion.
That is such a good point.
I'm glad that you like understand where I'm coming from.
Yeah, that but, like solved why I liked it so much. Like that phrase is the key to me being so attracted to his art. But,
so with Wimberly's art, like I like how it's colored. There's no blending, mm-hmm. which is kind of like. Sometimes I like, sometimes I don't.
I do like, but yeah.
I think just the way, like, her face is drawn sometimes, it's just kind of jarring.
It's just off. It's very, like, rigid.
It looks like
but not in
someone's
like, a good way.
Face was just painted green. Like, it's not like her skin's green. It, like, looks, like, wrong.
It looks like...
Or just
It looks off. Like he's constantly sneezing while he's drawing.
Yeah, there is like a lot of rigid lines. Like this dude's like biceps are like square.
Yeah, it's interesting.
A lot of shapes and stuff.
I could get into it, but it was just kind of boring at first, so it really put me off.
It kind of reminded me of like an Eduardo Risso, but like a little bit more detailed. The dude from like 100 Bullets.
Okay, yeah.
Stuff like that, you know?
Yeah, but anyway, She-Hulk goes to talk to Herman Schultz, otherwise known as the Shocker. Who is named in like the lawsuit, and she's like, I need to talk to this guy and see if he remembers anything because I don't. And she has to like chase him down a little bit, obviously, because she's like a superhero that's a supervillain. But after she like chases him down, they talk, and the Shocker doesn't remember the case. And But he's like, I've had a ton of like mini concussions, so that doesn't surprise me that I don't remember this.
From all these like concussive blasts that he uses as a shocker with his gauntlets and
shit.
Sometimes
he just shocks himself to like knock a spring loose, you know, just like trying to remember something. And he's like, I don't remember doing that. And so he'll just like mini shock his head to try and like, I don't know, rattle it.
I saw a TikTok today of like this girl who watched a video of someone smelling like the smelling salts. Like the, I think it's like ammonia or something.
Like the working out ones?
Yeah.
Okay.
And she's like, I'm going to, once my alarm goes off, I'm just going to sniff these things to get my day going. I'm like,
Jesus Christ.
Doing that every day seems like it would damage something. It seems unhealthy.
I think she's looking for cocaine.
Yeah. Or coffee. I don't know. She's just lazy, I guess, and 10 alarms doesn't do the trick. I'm like, maybe that would work.
It probably would get you up.
Yeah. Just like.
Have you ever done that?
I can imagine what it's like, though.
Like burping Dr. Pepper?
Like that, but like worse.
Yeah.
A little bit spicy.
I imagine it smells like chlorine, but like dank chlorine.
You know, have you ever had like too much wasabi on a sushi roll?
No.
Oh, try it.
No.
You like eat it and then like you feel the spiciness in your mouth and then it just like all comes out your nose. Like
really?
It's very upsetting.
That's never happened to me.
I hate it. Like I do it too often.
I've used wasabi, but I put it in the soy sauce.
Right. Sometimes you put too much soy sauce or you get like a chunk from the soy sauce.
Yeah.
Roll itself. Anyway, I imagine it's just like that. So if I tried it, I wouldn't be super surprised by it. I'm like, yeah. Oh yeah, I know this.
Mm-hmm. Wasabi. Yes.
I know pain.
Wasabi flavor.
Exactly.
So Angie, the paralegal, goes to North Dakota to follow leads in on the suit. And then Hellcat goes to talk to Tigra. And when she's talking to Tigra, they're like homies, right? She attacks Patsy after hearing the name of the sewer. What is that called?
Of the what?
The person that sues you. What are they called?
The defendant or the plaintiff?
Plaintiff. That's what it is.
Yeah, I took a business law course, I think.
That's right. So after Tigra hears the name of the plaintiff, George Sawitz, Hellcat like gets triggered and like starts attacking Patsy.
No, Tigra gets triggered.
Sorry, Tigra gets triggered, starts attacking Patsy.
Hellcat attacks herself.
Starts punching herself. No, yeah. So Hellcat has to like stop Tigra from like killing herself after too. So like there's like a weird shit going on. And Angie gets like shot after finding documents that are related to this case. So there's like a bunch of weird stuff happening. But what I do enjoy is that Angie and Hellcat sort of discover like what's happening kind of at the same time, like in our case.
Yeah, like something's fucked up with this.
So we figure out like this is, there's definitely something fishy here. Like there's a trigger word, like this person doesn't remember. But it's kind of fun because we're like, Shocker isn't getting triggered because he's so fucked in the head.
Yeah.
So I thought that was kind of an interesting storytelling element.
Have you ever seen Tigra?
Yeah.
Is she supposed to be sexy? Because she's got like a swimsuit on and it just kind of reminds you of like...
Yes.
A granny?
She used to like have her own cartoon.
Okay.
Just Tigra.
Really?
Yeah. And I know this because
she... Are you sure it's not Thundercats?
No. It was Tigra. And I know this because she was in the...
Amazing Spider-Man.
No. The Chip and Dale movie.
Really?
Yeah, she was.
Oh, Chip and Dale. Okay.
I was thinking the Disney property.
Not Bill and Ted.
Oh, yeah. Not Bill and Ted. But no, like, wow. Tigra was like an animated character that was like talking and had lines and shit in that movie.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah. So that's how I know. I mean, I've known her before this, but...
I'm sure I've seen her in like events or something, but...
She might even be in like the Jessica Jones show before she turns into Tigra.
Hmm. Okay.
But I could be wrong about that.
It's basically just like a cheetah kind of thing?
Yeah.
Okay.
And so Patsy tries to call She-Hulk to tell her about this trigger, but she can't reach her because She-Hulk is currently talking to another defendant named Wyatt Wingfoot, also known as Nighthawk. What's his name?
I
can't remember. But so she's like putting her through voicemail and she's talking to this guy about like this case and she's about to speak the trigger while this dude is on a mountain climb. And there's like students that are like tied to him on this like mountain.
Yeah.
Which is just a bizarre situation.
He must be just like super strong.
He's got to be a super strong guy because there's like four kids. One of them's pretty fat. like,
and he's at the bottom.
He's climbing, just hanging there. He's climbing all of them.
He's like,
what a just absurd situation that Charles Soule has put this character in. Because if
so, I get this dude's strong, but he's also depending on all these like little hooks to just stay in the rock.
Yeah,
it looks like it's cracking.
This one's already got a crack in it. Yeah. That's just insane how unfortunate the timing there is. But we'll jump right into issue six.
Hold on one sec. Night Watch. That's what his name is.
Night Watch. Thank you.
So something I really liked about Wimberly's artwork was like this fight scene with like Tigra. He goes like scratch like Hellcat and like her arm is like super long, you know, and that's just like, it's ridiculous, but it's really fun.
I do like that. I also like when Tigra's about to walk off the edge and it sort of takes the perspective of like kind of like leg level and it's kind of looking up and she looks really tall.
Yeah.
Like there's definitely some good stuff there. Like, but there's sometimes where it feels flat when it's not action.
Yeah.
And I mainly pick that up in the next issue, but like, I think he's got a really good sense of perspective though, for sure. But there's some things that looked better than others, I think, for sure. But yeah, I did enjoy that fight scene between Tigra and Patsy a lot.
Yeah.
So in issue six,
is she a different color of green now?
In this issue, she definitely is.
This is like a turquoise.
Yeah, maybe he like ran out of digital green, but she's like more blue in this or whatever. That like turquoise. I don't know why. I noticed that too, and I was like, this is really weird.
Yeah.
But so luckily, while she's on the phone with this dude that's carrying a bunch of children, the call signal dropped, so he doesn't hear the trigger word.
Yeah.
And then she eventually hears Patsy's voicemail. She rushes to the hospital for Patsy. And they think that their minds have been tampered with in some way, whether it's like mystical or hypnotism or whatever. And then we see Angie, the paralegal that got shot, gets revived by Hey Hey. And so what I like about that is that we clearly knew that there was some weird stuff going on with Angie that just like hasn't had the time to develop yet. But this is a really cool development, like seeing her get revived by like her monkey.
Yeah.
And there's like this weird green mist that like goes under her mouth and she like gets revived. And I'm like, what the fuck is going on here? So I thought that was kind of cool.
No, it wasn't like a mist. The monkey like spit in her mouth.
I thought it looks like a mist or like a life. Like, I don't know. I don't think it was like spit because that seems very long for spit. It seems like the monkey was like
kind of. When I read it, I was like, ew.
Yeah, that's gross. Come on, hey, you're better than that.
Yeah.
Don't spit in a dead woman's mouth.
I mean, as long as I don't know, dude. You know how like spit can be stringy?
Yeah, but like this is one of the things.
What kind of connection does she have with this monkey?
So, I don't know. We don't know.
This better yet. Unfold in this series.
Yeah, I think it does. But so She-Hulk meets with Nightwatch, who's another person on the case. And
wait, is this Nightwatch?
This is Nightwatch.
The black guy?
The black guy.
Hmm.
Oh, wait. Okay, so the other dude was not Nightwatch. But this guy is Nightwatch. He's a person on the case. She catches them up to speed, and then they're suddenly attacked by a horde of demons, which was a little out of left field for me.
Yeah.
Because everything up to this point was like pretty non-fantasy related. Like,
pretty, you know, grounded.
Maybe there was like some mystical elements that like caused the trigger words, but like that's as crazy as it got. So to just have like a horde of like nightcrawler demon powered things.
These guys kind of reminded me of like Bitterroot, like the demons in that.
Or yeah. Whatever. Yeah, that's true. That's a good point. But yeah, they like were demons and they bamf and they have the brimstone and everything, but they don't look like Nightcrawler.
Yeah.
Nightcrawler has like, or there's night, like little nightcrawlers that I've seen. They're called bamfs. And like those aren't these. So like,
what do you mean?
Like there's little nightcrawler things.
What do you mean things?
I don't know what they are.
Like little demon things?
They're like little demon things that kind of look similar to a Nightcrawler.
Are they the same species?
I think so, but they're tiny and they're called Bamfs.
Where do you see them?
In Extraordinary X-Men by Jeff Lemire.
Oh, interesting. Okay.
Yeah, I don't know what they are, but those are a thing and they reminded me of these here, but they're not those. But like all these demons are calling like She-Hulk's name. And so like they have to fight them off and whatever. And then what's weird to me here is that She-Hulk decides to stop pursuing this case, even though Angie has like super relevant info. And She-Hulk is like, I'm not doing this anymore. People are getting hurt. But to me, that seems a little strange because I think she would have the opposite reaction. Like, it seems like they're just making progress in this case for whatever's happening. And the fact that she doesn't even want to hear what, like, Angie's saying is strange to me. But
yeah.
But later, after that happened, Night Watch gets the word out about Jen Walters' practice and she gets clients. So that's good. And that's the end of the trade. So we don't get, like, I think I could tell that Charles Soule really had to, like, put a close to, like, this storyline.
Yeah.
So that he could start his next trade. But it felt a little rocky there, like, towards the end. So.
Sure, yeah. Because the first four had, like, a pretty good flow to it.
Yeah, I loved those. I think those were really fun.
I don't think it was just, like, the artwork that made it, like, kind of rocky. That last fight scene was kind of fun, too, with, like, the proportions and whatnot.
Yeah, it was.
But.
But, so let's go into Back Matter Matters.
Back Matter Matters.
We have, I don't think we've ever had a Back Matter that had one variant. We got the variants, like, in between each of the issues.
Yeah.
But then they just, like, couldn't squeeze this Chris Anka one anywhere else, so they just put one at the end.
Yeah.
Which is very good. I like Chris Anka a lot. And then we got some art process by Javier Pulido. We got some of the best double page spreads in here, like the one where she gets ejected out of the car.
Mm-hmm.
That's a pretty fun one.
That's interesting. He, like, draws the circles of, like, where the
panels are supposed to be.
Panels are going to be.
Word balloons.
Yeah, the balloons rather. And the captions, like, squares for the captions.
It seems like his layouts are more like his pencils, and he doesn't really have, like, a pencil stage.
Okay, yeah.
And they're, like, pretty close to what the final product is. Like, where the one where she gets, like, ejected out the car, like, that all looks pretty close. Like, her...
just a little sharpened up.
And yeah, her body positioning. Or, like, that last panel where we see Kristoff there, or whoever that was. In the layouts, he kind of just went lazy with the hair and then really refined it later. So, he seems like he's very... he's got a really good idea of what he's going to end up doing.
Yeah, definitely.
And, yeah, we got a couple more double page spreads there, but there's really strong stuff, to be honest.
Not very strong back matter, though.
No, just two pages of back matter.
Are you shitting me with
Are
this?
Are you? We got robbed. I mean, the whole trade was only, what, like 117 pages?
Yeah, that's true.
So
you could have added, like...
give me, like,
because I think
four
trades
more
pages. I think trades are always, like, in the multiples of eight or something. I don't know if that works out for this.
Multiples,
like,
of eight?
Yeah.
What do you mean?
Fucking, what's his name?
Oh, like John, the page count.
Yeah, John Layman was talking about how the page count is always in, like, multiples of eight.
Oh.
I guess because just how it goes to printing or whatever. And so...
but this one had a lot of double page spread, so I think that would lower that amount.
Yeah. So, and then they also can include, like, the front cover and, like, the back cover as, like, exactly, a page count on Comixology. So
I think it's a bare minimum. Every trade should have, at the very, very least, five pages of back matter.
Yeah. Yeah. So, like, have some variants, no variants. Pencils. There's pencils in this whole shit.
Yeah, you have a bunch of pencils.
Like, even if, like, you're a digital artist, you have a layer that was just the pencils.
Yeah.
Even if it's just red or whatever.
Or I really like when they show the colors without the inks. Those are cool, too. Like, in the...
oh, yeah, kind of weird.
Remember in the, like, Hawkeye trade? Matt Hollinsworth would, like, show his only colors.
Mm-hmm.
I would read that book with no fucking lines. Because the coloring was so good on that book, right? Mm-hmm. So, yeah, it feels like there should be more. But anyway, what would you rate this book, Daniel?
I'd give it like a love it. Yeah, with like a rainbow sherbet. Love it. Just, okay. No, think better yet.
Mint and chip.
You go to, better. Mint and chip. Changed my mind.
Yeah, I'll do love it as well with a mint and chip because it's green, right? Yeah, like, yeah. She-Hulk. And but I thought this was, like, really strong. I really enjoy, like, this little corner of the Marvel Universe that, like, Charles Soule is fleshing out, and he's obviously very good at it. And I'm glad that he later got the bigger, more famous lawyer character, Daredevil, later, because that run's also very interesting to me. But yeah, it's fun to see, like, early works of people that are big now.
Yeah, definitely. And just kind of see, like, how they've maybe grown.
Yeah.
You know, as,
like,
writers.
This guy didn't know at the time, but he was going to be doing, like, Marvel events.
Yeah.
Star Wars stuff. A lot of Star Wars stuff.
Real books
with no pictures.
No pictures. Oh, funny story about that. I went to this, like, used bookstore or something. Didn't have a ton of comics, but
that sucks.
They had
Bookmans?
I can't remember what it was called. It was like Trading Hands or something.
Okay, that's cool.
They on the sale rack, they had, like, four copies of, like, the Oracle year.
Oh, cool.
So they're like $8 maybe, which is cool. I'm like, I have the hardcover of this signed by Charles Soule. I don't need this. Mm-hmm. I don't need this. But I like
to. You do? When did you get a sign? This year?
No, Comic-Con when he was there.
We both went, didn't we?
Yeah. You were right next to me when he was signing it.
Yeah, that's right. I had him sign Daredevil. I have like a Daredevil number one signed by Charles.
Yeah, I have this Darth Vader.
Yeah. Okay. He's a cool guy.
Yeah, that was a crazy year
for Comic-Con. I can't believe that he didn't have like a bigger line, because he was like doing Daredevil and stuff at the time.
It might have been like...
in Darth Vader.
I think we went to him like later in the day. Like it was like the afternoon. So maybe like...
he didn't have as much clout to like carry him through the whole day.
Perhaps. Yeah. The line already went down or whatever.
Yeah.
But anyway I like asked them if they had a copy of like his other book. It's called like Anyone. And they didn't. It sucked.
Because he would have bought it.
Yeah, we totally would have.
Yeah.
Read half of it and then just
never touched it again.
I read half of it.
Oh, never touched
like,
it. Nice.
The year I got it, it's a good book and it flows really well, but it's a book still.
That guy's crazy because he like also has a band. I'm pretty sure Charles Soule, or he like used to do music or something.
That's cool. I believe that. Yeah, I think he said that he plays guitar or something.
Yeah.
Pretty sick.
Yeah. So let's get into the poll list, Colin.
Shove it in your box. Sorry.
Yes, sir.
The poll list. What did you shove in your box?
I had a light week.
Yeah.
I had some 8 Billion Genies, number 4.
Right.
I got The Punisher, number 5.
Okay.
Jurassic League, number 4.
Of course.
A Green Torch, which is his name. Suplexing Atrocitaurus.
Yeah, because they don't have lanterns back then. They just had torches.
They just had torches, yeah. Such a dumb idea. Because, like, they would still be called, like, Green Lanterns.
Why didn't they call them Red Comet or Green Comet or something? The thing that knocks them out.
What's funny is that they would still be called Green Lanterns, I'm pretty sure, because they've been around for a while.
Yeah.
You know, like, they weren't based off of Earth. They're, like, a thing. They're, like, a thing in space that already existed. So I just think it's funny that
I know DWJ didn't think about it that hard.
I think that he didn't. He was like, fuck it, I don't care. Like, he's Green Torch because that's funny.
He probably wrote this whole series in, like, 2 hours. You know? Like, he didn't think about those details. He's making up his dinosaur world.
Or, like, an editor was like, I know you're going to talk to, like, our editor or whatever, but... get a pitch together and we'll accept it. Then you just had like a night to do it.
Exactly.
That's what it feels like, but it's still a really fun series. And then I picked up Detective Comics, which is the beginning of Ram V and Raphael Albuquerque's run.
Okay. That issue did seem significant.
Yes. So it's like their first issues on it. So I'm picking it up to at least entertain it. Cause I love Albuquerque.
Oh, right.
He's great. So I'm going to see how that goes.
Cool. You didn't get Love Everlasting, number 1?
I saw it, and I was like, I probably will enjoy this, but I'm trying not to pick up a lot of new series.
I think I got it because it was Tom King, it was new, and then, you know, to support and whatnot. Elsa also had, like, a light week, so.
The artist, like, Elsa Chartier, whatever her name is, she's really good.
So. I'll, like, read, I get it's, like, a romance book. I'll read like the first issue, and if it vibes with me, then I'll keep getting it. But
yeah, it is like a fresh like thing. Like you don't see romance comics anymore.
Sure, so,
but I think it's like all free on Substack.
Okay. His Tom King Substack is free.
Yeah, like they have a Substack together, Tom King and Elsa.
Uh huh.
And I'm pretty sure like all this is like free on there, but they are printing it for people that prefer it that way.
And then, I think.
That was a thing that we talked about, but it was like a long time ago.
Hickman's, like Substack is free too. I think
he's got a lot of stuff going on.
Somebody's is free, and I don't think it's Tom King's though.
But. I mean, I think you can have like a free version of your Substack because Chip has a free version and a paid version.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
Okay. You didn't get Predator number 1, Nathan?
I probably should have.
And you didn't get the Scotty Young cover?
I didn't see a Scotty Young cover.
I must have got one of the last ones.
Wait, I want to see the Scotty Young cover.
Okay.
Is he a baby predator?
Of course.
Oh, yes.
What else would it be?
I don't know. Sometimes he draws normally, and I'm like, what is this shit? give me baby art. Oh, my God. That's so good.
Isn't it adorable?
That's so stupid.
That's the dumbest shit I've ever seen. No, it's not dumb. It's cool.
You're such a Scotty head.
Dude.
I mean, like, every time...
You could fill this whole wall of just Scotty covers.
I fucking will. no, I don't actually have that many, but when I don't really... So the other... The cover A was, like, cool. It looked really good. But it's just something
It was, like, about, just Predator, right?
Yeah, it was just
Predator. And he's, like, standing on a hill or whatever.
I don't really like the way Predator, like, looks.
No, he's ugly.
I don't like how, like...
I don't think he's cool looking.
I think he's cool when he's got all his armor on. But yeah. When you take it all off, I don't like that his just, like... He just has, like, a chest and there's skin. And I think that's weird.
I don't like his face.
His face isn't great either.
Yeah.
But, like, when he's all armored up, like, in AVP, that shit's awesome.
Very cool. Yeah.
But, anyway. So, I'll read that. I find it odd that this didn't come out, like, earlier. I know there's a bunch of controversy over it, but, like, the same week that the... Or, like, a week within the movie coming out.
Yeah.
But Ed Brisson's good. We'll see how that's going, and then...
Yeah, let me know.
For sure.
I'm not, like, a huge Predator fan in general.
Dude, what are you talking about?
I love the movie The Best Predator.
Yeah.
And I did watch Prey, but we'll talk about that in a minute.
Oh, I didn't watch it.
Oh!
I know, I'm so sorry.
You should. It's the best... It's a contender for Best Predator.
I'll watch it. Oh, okay, I'll watch...
It's actually so fucking good, I can't believe it didn't get a movie release. Because like, it's that level quality.
That's all I've heard. And nothing but good things.
Like, incredible shots. It's, like, very simple concept, which gives room for, like, really good, like, small moments. Visually very creative. Fight scenes are incredible.
Mm-hmm.
I love the lead. People are, like, wanting her to be X-23, and I'm totally here for that.
Yeah, for sure.
And it's fucking awesome. So, yeah, you should totally check it out.
Sick.
What comics did you read this week?
No comics.
I read two comics. I read Batman 126.
Okay. Pretty exciting issue.
A
lot of fighting.
I think it was cooler than like the last issue. So I liked that.
Okay.
Even though we don't see Batman with his cowl on and like a button-up shirt, I really enjoyed that part of the last issue.
Oh, yeah.
But I like that robot guy.
Yeah, he's neat.
Whatever his name is.
It's like Backup Plan or something?
Yeah,
or?
Something like that. But I like how... He just like runs and he's very fast. Just like the idea of that robot running after him in like the Batmobile. Or like when he's getting away in the Batmobile and he's like kind of like dragging behind it.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, that's pretty fun.
Yeah.
And I like the Bat family. I think a lot of them are going to die, but we'll see what happens.
I just like don't care about people dying anymore.
I just think he's going to find a way to not have to deal with the Bat family. Because just he was like, talking
don't have him in it, you know?
Yeah, but I think he's going to have a reason to have them not there. Also, there's that backup story, which I almost didn't read. But did you read it?
Mm-hmm.
And it's like Penguin's dead, and so his fortune's supposed to go to his kids or whatever,
mm-hmm.
but they're all dying, and it might be one of his other kids killing off the other kids.
Yeah.
Which I think is a fun idea.
I'm like, yeah, that makes sense.
That's cool. So, but I like the series. And then I also read Shazam, the new champion of Shazam or whatever it's called, Doc Shaner one.
Okay.
Doc Shaner is fucking amazing.
I know that.
He kills it.
Wait, so he does the interiors and he's like...
He's the artwork, he's the colorist, he's all that.
Wow.
And he's so good.
That doesn't seem like something he would like take on.
He loves Shazam.
Does he?
If you follow him on Twitter, he's posting a Shazam or a Superman all the time.
Okay.
And I think it's called The New Champion of Shazam.
Something like that.
And like the way that he does like character acting and expression is, I think, bar none. Like in this book especially, there's a bunny that talks and... has perfect expression for this bunny. It's like insane, like really good acting for like this bunny. And I'm like, how the fuck did he do that? Like he understands the facial structure of a bunny that looks like a bunny. It's not like a Scotty Young, like cartoony bunny. It's like, it looks like a normal bunny.
Maybe just watch like a lot of Alice in Wonderland.
Maybe, but like he's so good and he draws.
Or a lot of Max and Ruby.
That's probably what it is. He watches that fucker Ruby run around and and do random shit. But it's fun.
How is the writing?
I like it a lot. It's like...
Who's on it?
I can't remember her name.
Oh, okay.
It's someone I don't know, but I was impressed with their dialogue.
Okay.
Because it's like Mary Marvel or whatever her name is, like part of the family. She's like leaving the family and going to college. And she's really excited to like find herself, really, because she's only ever been like part of this foster family, right?
Sure.
So she doesn't really know who she is. And then she was Shazam for a little bit, but now it's not a thing.
Okay.
And so she's like really trying to like meet her new roommates and like make a good impression and stuff. But then there's like Shazam stuff that's happening that's making her look weird. Like in
front,
like she's talking to this rabbit, which is actually her roommate's rabbit, but it's Billy Batson, who's like now dead or something. He's like gone, but he's using the power of Shazam to give a message through this rabbit. And she's talking to this rabbit, but no one else could hear the rabbit talking. And so she just looks insane. And like her roommate's like, is that my fucking rabbit? Did you take her to orientation? And it's like this really funny situation. Okay. And the action's really good. So I'm enjoying it so far, but it is a little bit dialogue heavy because I think they were setting a lot of things up.
Right.
But I think it was great.
Cool.
And I think Doc is just incredible. So I'm going to keep it.
Yeah.
Keep going with it for sure. But, other than that, I watched Prey. I think it's great. You should absolutely watch it.
I know.
And it like keeps you engaged the whole time. It's so good. And then I watched the first Sandman episode.
Yeah?
Yeah.
What'd you think?
I thought it was great.
I thought it was like perfect.
Yeah, like
I watched 4 episodes. So okay. I'm like halfway through it.
Nice.
I watched, they got up to the point where he is like, did the whole hell thing. And they do the thing. They do play the game.
Oh my god, are you serious?
But the demon like chooses Lucifer to represent him. And I'm like, "Oh shit, is this about to be a fight? He's going to die." And I'm like, "I've read this book, but he's going to die."
Oh my god, what's going to happen?
But then end up being that game. And I like turned to Sarah. I'm like, Nathan fucking hated this part.
I did. I fucking hated it.
So they did it a little bit cooler because like
I imagine they would have. Yeah.
Whatever they chose and like the impacts that like their avatar or whatever did, it kind of affected their bodies, you know? So okay. Like if they got cut up or
more
something,
of like a physical effect.
Yeah, sure. Yeah.
Okay.
So that was like a lot cooler. But as far as like, you know, being pretty accurate with like the book, it was like really sick to watch. Like
I'm shocked how close it was.
Yeah.
Cause I didn't think that like Constantine is going to be in it at all. And it's not like John Constantine, but it's still like a Constantine, right?
Yeah.
And
I guess like Joanna Constantine is actually like John Constantine's like grandmother in like the books.
Yes.
Which is like super deep cut, but
yeah. And like they're somehow still legally able to use that version of Constantine, I guess.
I mean,
so I don't know how that works, but
some people, I don't know, not some people, but I've seen it advertised as like DC's Sandman, you know? So they obviously need like the, there's some sort of contractual thing.
Okay.
That's probably why they
didn't
just
that.
Do John Constantine. And they actually, on that episode, they say like Joanna Constantine. And it fucking drove me crazy.
That's pretty funny. I haven't gotten to the Constantine part yet, but.
But.
Yeah, it seemed like pretty bar for bar, like, you know.
I like the dude who plays him. His voice is awesome.
Yeah, I think obviously it's like impossible to have the sort of presence of like Sam Keith's Sandman.
Yeah.
Because he just like looks otherworldly, right?
Yeah.
But I think they got as close as they could fucking get with this actor. Also, there's a lot of like dick coverings.
Yeah.
The first, like an Austin Powers kind of deal where he's like standing up and like his hands just kind of like in front of his dick.
It just happened. Like he goes to pick up sand from the ground. His dick just, and his hand so conveniently in front of his dick.
I was looking for his dick the whole time. This guy's not hung because there's one time there's like a silhouette where he's like kind of far away and I'm like, his dick would show.
Yeah.
But
the Sandman doesn't have a dick, I'm pretty sure.
He might not. There's also like that scene where when he first leaves, he's going into the dreaming and he's like doing this thing.
Oh, I like that.
It looks dumb to me.
Really? I think it's cool.
I
always thought of it as like, it was cool on the panel and I thought it looks cool.
I think the panel just pulled it off like way better and it's
sure.
Kind of funky to see like a guy do that. He's like, oh, I'm going to go to the dreaming now. You know, I just,
my ride is here.
Pretty much, it was strange, but like other than that, like everything was really, I liked this first episode way better than the first issue for sure.
Oh, 100%.
Because it was a lot more poignant and like, you know, who's important.
Yeah.
And you don't care about Unity really, but like she's an example of the effects of Dream being taken, you know?
Yeah.
So everything was just like a lot more clear and I thought it was a banger first episode. So I'm going to keep watching for sure.
What I kind of struggled with was like Sarah watching it and then like I'm excited because I'm like, oh, this is the book, and which is cool.
I did not expect that at all. Yeah.
Just as like, a person that doesn't know the story watching it, maybe not that exciting, you know?
Yeah, I think Yeah, I think I got excited because it was what I knew.
So there's like a slight spoiler I wanted to like talk to you about.
Sure, yeah.
So you remember Gregory?
No.
The gargoyle that...
Oh, yeah, yeah.
The
cute one.
Yeah.
The yellow one? Yeah.
No. He was the green one.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Okay, yeah.
I remember. The yellow one was like Irving or something.
I hope he's there.
So Gregory... You know how like Sandman like needed more power, so he goes to Cain and Abel to get like some letters because they needed something that he created in order to get more power.
Letters?
Yeah, they gave him like some letters or something that Sandman wrote to them or something.
Oh, okay, I do remember that.
It was so little, but they changed it to where Gregory is what he gave them, right?
Oh, cool.
And so the Sandman has to like, I don't know, like absorb Gregory in order to like survive, right? Mm-hmm. And to get stronger. And like, so when they go to Cain Abel's house, Sarah like instantly like fell in love with like Gregory. She's like, he's so cute. He's like a dog,
oh, you know,
because of how he's acting. And then like, as they're talking about like the situation, and she's like, don't you do anything to Gregory. And I'm like, I think they're going to kill Gregory.
I think Gregory's going to die right now. So does he like absorb Gregory?
He like turns in like this dust and then like he like kind of absorbs him. But, oh, yeah.
Fuck.
That sucks. Still get that egg though to where they get Irving.
Okay.
That's good. It's like not a big deal. But I just thought that was funny. That was the only thing that like Sarah really said about the show.
That's pretty funny.
But yeah, it's good stuff. I think it looks great. I want to finish it.
Yeah, it's very, like, it's a very impressive adaptation for sure. Because like that series was, I'm sure, not easy to like adapt and like think visually, like, how do we pull this off?
Dude, it looks like incredible. I'm like, this looks so expensive.
It does. It looks like the Dreaming, like,
nuts. Just
in the first episode, even though it was like all crumbled and shit. Or like even that first, like that beginning, like thing where it's explaining the Dreaming. Very helpful, by the way.
Because
they didn't do that at first in the first issue. So I'm like, what is this place? But like they switched up some of the things to make it easier to follow, which I really appreciate. But it looks big budget, looks very good.
Yeah.
And so I'm very impressed. Also, I like when, remember in the comic when he's like being very like intimidating, he has like the sparkle in his eye or like the glow.
Yeah.
They do that a couple times in the show, which I think is cool too. And it makes him look very intimidating.
I mean, I didn't notice, but that's cool.
Like there's times where he's for the most part a silhouette, but like, or very dark at least. And like you see the sparkle in his eyes. I'm like, that's pretty cool.
I'm glad that something that like went through like development hell, like ended up working out.
Mm-hmm.
And there won't, like at the end of this, people won't be like, oh, it needs to be like adapted like the right way or whatever. You know, I don't think anyone's like dislike this.
I think if it was different, people would understand. Because obviously you can't use like Justice League. You can't use Dr. Destiny or whatever. Is there a Dr. Destiny like person that they swap out?
John D. It's still John D. He doesn't look like a raisin, but
okay, that's good.
The character's still there.
So do you think there's gonna be a diner scene?
I looked at the episode names and one's called 24/7.
Oh fuck, there's gonna be a diner scene. Well, I think they'll do it better though.
But they're doing like Preludes and Nocturnes in 6 episodes, so that's 8 issues, right? So they gotta condense a couple.
Sure. Okay.
So they had like the hell.
I'm sure there will
they had
be
the hell one that was like one episode. They had like the John Constantine one that was like one episode. So they'll probably condense like maybe the last two to the 24.
Okay.
So I don't think it'll be like a fucking hour of him in there. You know,
probably it's just only 6 episodes.
So the 6th episode has death in it.
Where they you're saying the first trade is in the first 6 episodes,
right?
Okay, I got you.
And then there's 10 episodes total,
right?
And so.
Okay, cool.
But yeah, really excited. I think it's cool.
I was impressed. If I didn't like the first like episode like a lot, I wasn't going to continue, and I was pretty impressed. So.
Right, definitely.
Very cool.
So, is that it?
Yeah, did you watch anything else? Or?
No, been doing a lot of studying, unfortunately.
Sweet. What are we going to read next week, Daniel?
What are we going to read next week? Nathan, we're going to read Eisner Award winner.
Oh, yes.
For best
comedic humor publication.
Humor publication. Yeah, that's correct.
Yeah.
Called Not All Robots.
By Mark Russell and Mike Diodato Jr.
Yes, yes, yes.
Which I'm really excited about. I got the first issue and I'm like, this looks like it'll be a good series. And I never read it.
Don't you love that? And then we ended up doing an episode on it.
And I have good taste in things that I randomly pick up because I want an Eisner. So it's like I knew intrinsically that this was going to be good.
I'm a good judge of covers.
Yeah, because it looks like that one with the pitchfork and the people out front, you know?
Are you familiar with the cover? I was surprised to see... Wait, what?
Do you know what the cover looks like for the book?
Yeah.
It's like cover. A reference to like that painting where there's like the two pilgrims or whatever, and there's one guy with the...
American Gothic?
Is that what it's called?
Yeah.
Wow, I'm very impressed.
I took an art class, I think.
I did too, and I think I learned that, but I don't remember.
But, I don't know who does it, though.
It does look like very good, a very good work, so I'm excited.
Cool, yeah. I was kind of surprised. What publisher is that?
It was like...
Something random, right? Or something new?
Oh, dude, I don't think it was like Aftershock. I think it's like Axel Alonso's publisher.
That might be right, yeah.
It's like, I think I can't even remember what it's called. But
anyway, and I was just surprised to see like Mike Diodato Jr. because I haven't seen him since like Old Man Logan, I think.
No, he did like...
He did Berserker.
Berserker.
With Jeff Lemire.
Berserker Unbound. He's on like a new book now, like a new independent book.
That's cool because I think he's incredible.
Yeah,
I've always loved his shit.
I think he's great, yeah.
But yeah, sounds good. We got that going. Check out the links. It's in the Upshot.
I was right. It's Axel Alonso's publisher.
Axel Alonso. Okay, cool.
AWA Studio? Anyway.
AWA.
AWA.
The Water Studios?
Yeah. And so yeah, that'll be next week. Eisner Award winner.
Very excited. Follow, watch, listen.
Yeah, we got a link tree. We got a thing. If you want to...
Subscribe.
If you want to recommend one of the Eisner Award winners or just any book.
We'll get to them eventually, I bet.
Yeah, we'll get to them once we don't have a thing coming.
If you want to prioritize something, you tell us right now.
Yeah, we'll put it at the top of the list.
Yep.
We still have some that we got to get through, but...
Just for you.
Yeah, but still recommend them. I'm like off the wall shit as well. I enjoy those.
Yeah, the ones that like we maybe never even heard of, you know?
Yeah.
That'd be cool.
I'd love that. So...
we'll see you next week.
You can email us at traderwearspod@gmail.com for that.
Oh, yeah, that's not an Erling tree.
Yeah, so... Anyway, thanks for listening.
Alrighty.